I pray for your message to go forth, to speak to our hearts, to change us, Lord, to give us faith and hope. And Lord, may you have your way, your kingdom come, your will be done in this message, God, as it is in heaven. May we have an encounter with you. Amen. Title is A Cold Heart to a Transformed Heart. I just gotta say this. There's no clock down there, so I'm safe. I just have to say this joke, okay? This is a, well, it was a husband and wife that lived in Canada. And they were gonna go on a holiday to Florida. And he had a business deal to go down there, so he went before her. And we got down there, and he got into the hotel, and he decided to email his wife. But he couldn't quite remember her email address. So he just tried the best he remembered. How many knows that doesn't work with email address? So anyway, somewhere in Canada, there was an 80-year-old lady who had just lost her husband a couple days before. And she walked into the room, and her children heard her fall on the floor, unconscious. And they came running in to see what happened to her, and they looked on the screen, and they said, "Dear honey, I arrived. I just checked in. I look forward to seeing you in a couple of days." just so you know, it's very hot down here.
Oh.
I thought you needed to come. Cold heart to a transformed heart. So, I've been preaching out of Isaiah chapter 6. For those who've been here last number of Sundays, and my friends, I'm still stuck there. So, God shows me more and more things in this scripture. I mean, knows that God's word is alive. It can go in another depth, and then there's another depth. So, I was reading this Isaiah 6, and Isaiah is a young aristocrat who loses his kingdom, Uzziah. And his culture, his society has gone away from God. Similar to our society. And he goes into the temple, and in the temple, we don't know if it's a vision or a dream or how he experienced it, but he sees God on the throne. And he sees the temple, that he sees the robe of God filling the temple. The glory of God came in the temple, and the presence of God filled the place. And he said that the whole temple shook. And he saw the angels, seraphims. Wherever you go in the Bible and you see the throne, you see these seraphims singing, "Holy, holy, holy is God Almighty." How many likes to sing and sing the song over and over? And then, because he's now in the presence of a living God, a holy God, he feels convicted. How many have ever felt convicted by God? The closer you get to God, the more you're going to see that you're not as holy as you think you are. And so he says, "Oh, I'm a man of unclean lips. Among people of unclean lips, his culture is one of unclean lips." And God sends an angel with hot coals, touches his lips, and atones for his sins. He's forgiven. But then he heard the voice. Then he heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send?" Let's read it again. Then he heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?" And I said, "Here am I, send me." He said, "Go and tell this people, be ever hearing, but never understanding; be ever seeing, but never perceiving. Make the heart of this people callous, make their eyes dull, and close their eyes. Otherwise, they will see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn to be healed." For how long, Lord? And he answered, "Until the cities lie ruined, and let it happen. Until the houses are left deserted and the fields are left ruined." Before I go into the details of the scripture, I just wanted to tell you about this experience of the throne for a minute, because that's where it comes from. Last Sunday night, I was listening to a lady called Sam. Some of you listened to her on Saturday. And I read her book that I also found in Bob's story called Face to Face with Jesus. This lady grew up in a very strong Muslim country. Her family was Muslim. Her father was a teacher. Was a teacher in a mosque. And one day she became born again. She ended up being invited to church, and she found herself at the altar, and she became born again. But because the country was in civil war, there was a lot of violence. And one day there was some people who planted bombs in the church. They planted 4 bombs in the church. 2 of them never went off, but 2 of them did. She was on the worship team, just like here. And one went off, and she went to help her friends, who was wounded and bleeding. And she was leaning against a fire extinguisher, not knowing that behind the fire extinguisher there was another bomb. And it blew off and threw her through the air. And she, together with 11 others, died. Now, as you can imagine, she rose from the dead, otherwise she wouldn't be able to tell the story. But she died. And she, in her, you don't know how many minutes, but in her experience, she shares in her book what she saw in heaven. Similar to what Isaiah saw in the temple. This is what she said. When I opened my eyes, I saw a brilliant white light illuminating Jesus, the Son of Man, the Son of God. His face was brighter than the sun, and he was so glorious and transcending that I was blinded with unapproachable light. Everything around me was bathed in golden light. I trembled in awe in his mighty presence, and the fear of the Lord descended upon me. Seeing the majesty and indescribable beauty of the Lord made me speechless. In every fiber of my being exclaimed, "Holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." As I worshiped the worthy Lamb of God, with the weight of his glory, my trembling body fell face down, prostrate at his feet. I was terrified, completely undone and unaware that I was unclean. How could I stand in the presence of such a holy, awesome God? At that moment, I experienced Jesus' touch, and he said, "Do not be afraid." He reminded me that his precious blood was shed for me and had washed me as clean as white snow, making me holy and pure because he loves me. And the story goes on. Her testimony is that she came through. Jesus asked her, "Do you want to stay here or do you want to go back?" And she saw in her mind her whole life. She's 19 years old. Before, and she realized she had really lived for herself and not for Jesus. And she asked Jesus to forgive her. Then she saw a picture of her family, her mom, her dad, and her siblings. And they did not know the Lord, and she realized they have to go back and tell them. At that moment, she came back into her body, still laying on the floor, with bleeding. Part of her face was opened. They brought her to the hospital, which was a radical Muslim doctor and nurse, and they thought she was going to die and they were going to just leave her. So they cleaned up a little bit, but thought for sure that in the next hour or two or days she would go. Fortunately for her, a medical team whom she knew well in the United States heard her story, heard her accident. And they got on the plane and flew to this country. Now, she said in her story that she was in a lot of pain. But because she had been in the presence of Jesus, praise came. We sang that song, "I Praise You." How's that going there? Praise is hallelujah. You know, that's easy when things are going well. But it's another whole story when you're living, not only going to live or die. It's another whole story when you're not knowing whether your child is going to live or die. Yet I praise you. Hallelujah. She said, because he had been in the presence of Jesus, he was able to have an unspeakable joy. The medical team came, and they actually took her out of the hospital and brought her to another place. And they sewed her up, did surgery on her. And she said, supernaturally, somehow the skin got grafted on there. Even though they saw her, you can't tell. Her whole face is normal. He said, the only thing you can say is there's a scar on the skull. Otherwise, nothing. Amen? Well, I'm just telling you a story because the testimony of my safe encounter, God on the throne, he's still on that throne. He's still there. And one day, if you know Jesus Christ, you'll encounter Jesus on the throne. Amen? But then he goes on to say this, and this is why I want to, where do I want to go? He goes on to say, Isaiah, go. And where is he supposed to go? To a people who had calloused hearts, whose hearts had been closed. Now, whose are these people? Who are these hardened hearts people? How many of those you can have different hearts? Soft hearts, passionate hearts, divided hearts, broken hearts, and you can have a hard heart. Hard heart is somebody with a shell around the heart. So who are these people with a callous heart? These are people who worship idols. They worship idols. And I read in Brian Simmons' Passion Translation, he put in, nobody says, what you worship is what you become. You see, they're worshiping idols that have no ears, no eyes. And he's saying there, when you worship idols that have no ears, no eyes, you become somebody who has no ears, no eyes. And you know what somebody with a hardened heart is? Somebody who cannot see. Somebody who cannot hear. Somebody who cannot comprehend. How many knows that we live in a society today that is bombarded with information? And not just information, but actually the gospel is available, my friends, here. I can listen to a YouTube sermon anytime, anywhere in the world today. And we're at a better service than mine. Better worship than false, maybe not. Yet, our culture has hardened its heart. They cannot see, they cannot hear, they cannot comprehend that this was the gospel that was given to you and I for us to encounter the living God who is on the throne, to be children and sons and daughters of God forever and ever, that we can become people who has a relationship with God, a family of believers. The hearts of our culture has turned, even though it's more available today than it's ever been. You become what you worship. What you worship. If you worship the God of comfort, you cannot hear the call of God. You can only hear the lazy boy calling you. Friends, some of us sitting here today have hardened hearts. In Isaiah 7, we see an example of Isaiah coming with this message to a king, Ahaz, who has a hardened heart. You see, I need to give you the context before you read that. Are you okay? The context is this. Ahaz, a 21-year-old king, but he's evil. And he's afraid because there's two kings, two kingdoms having alliance. The northern kingdom of Israel, called Israel, and also Syria had made an alliance to come and attack Judah, his kingdom. And if he doesn't surrender, they will come and destroy him. He's afraid. Isaiah comes with a word that is very encouraging. He says to Ahaz, it's not going to happen. It won't happen. They won't be able to do it. God will protect you. Don't do it. And then he goes on to say this, now ask for a sign. Ahaz had turned against God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And it turned to idols. There's a god of Moloch, I think his name is, who had his arms out like there's a statue, and they found pieces of it. Huge statue. And a fire burning down there. And you know what they did? They sacrificed children. And you know what Ahaz did? He sacrificed his son. I shared that one time at the Healing Lodge. And I said, that's what people do today. And they looked at me and said, no, they don't. I said, where I come from? I come from in Denmark. Where I grew up in that culture, if you were pregnant and it was inconvenient, you went and you knocked on the door of the hospital and they'll give you an abortion just like that. Just like that. Don't think that it doesn't happen today. We just have a different name for it. Just think that. So Ahaz, heart is cast. And he said, ask for a sign, and this is what he says. Ask the Lord for a sign in the depths of in the highest heights. But Ahaz said, I'll not. I'll not put the Lord to the test. It sounds like a humble, doesn't it? But he's not humble. Sometimes people with cow's heart, they sound humble, but they are not humble at all. And I said, here now in your house of David, it's not enough to try the patience of humans, but you try the patience of my God also. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign, the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and will call him Emmanuel. I mean, I heard that before in the New Testament. In the New Testament. Hear me. Ahaz didn't ask for a sign. You know why he didn't ask for a sign? Because he was expecting that. I have a message for you and me. If you have a callous heart, you have stopped expecting anything from God. You have closed your heart and you have been, your prayers have no faith. You go through the motions, but you're not connected. And maybe because you have been disappointed with God. Maybe because you experienced things that was so discouraging that you have stopped believing. But God is here today to help you get past the hard part. Because he is Emmanuel. He is God with you. I mean, believe that God is with you. He is with you. He wants to take that shell and he wants to break it open for you. He stands and he knocks. It's up to you to open it. And where do you open it? You open it to the very place where you had hardened your heart. To the very time when you turned your heart against God and you said, I will never again trust him. I will never ever believe. And maybe you never said it out word. Verbally, but you believe it in your heart. That's where you start. Amen. Do you know the scripture that I just read out of Isaiah 6 is actually repeated in the New Testament? In Matthew chapter 13, Jesus tells a parable. He tells a parable of a man who sowed some seeds. And there are four soils. I'm in the room. First one of the soil is the path. has no roots. The seed has no roots. The devil comes and steals it. The second one is the rocky soil, the chaos of this world. How's it going? The trials of this world comes and steals the seed. The third one is thorny soil, and the worries and the distractions of this world steal the seed. But then there's the fourth one, which is the heart that is transformed. We can receive and perceive. But do you know what Jesus says in Matthew 13? Because they ask him, why are you telling me in parables? Why are you telling me in parables? And this is what he says. This is why I speak to them in parables. This is Jesus talking. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. He refers back to what I just read. You will be ever hearing, but never understanding. They'll be more borrowing information, but never understanding. You'll be ever seeing, but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become callous. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes. When he talks about eyes and ears, he's talking about ears and eyes of their heart. Why is he doing this? And I also want to say, but blessed are you, eyes, because they see. In the ears, because they thank you for my eyes and my ears. Can I just say something? Why? This almost sounds like God is hardening hearts. Do you know that there are things that God doesn't want to reveal to you yet? Because he thinks that maybe you can't handle it. Let me give you an example. How many has seen in the news how some of these priests, unfortunately, have been charged? How many has read those news? In the last, 5, 10 years, it's been over the news continuously. I mean, it's just, that's horrible. I would say this. There is times when people are better off not receiving the truth. Those priests who did that to those children would be better off never having known anything about Jesus. It would be better off not having religion whatsoever. Because what they did in the name of Jesus has damaged the kingdom for generations to come. And that's why sometimes Jesus allows heart to be hardened and not open, because he knows that they're not ready to receive what he has to tell them. They would misuse it and abuse it for their own glory. Today, when you hear the voice of God, do not harden your hearts. That's what it says in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 7. Do not harden your heart. Today, if you hear the voice of God, do not harden your hearts. Do you know that when God speaks to you and he deposits something and you have an understanding, you have an encounter, that you're responsible for that encounter? Amen? When it talks about hearing and seeing and perceiving, he's talking about revelation in your heart. It is truth that has been given to you, and he doesn't just give it to anybody. He gives it to those he believes will love him. Don't trample on the things he gives you. In a sermon on Sunday, or in the nighttime, in your prayer time, or in the devotion, don't tremble on it. It's precious. It's his word. Open yourself and let him speak to you again and again and again. Because he wants to. You see, when you have your eyes open and your ears listening, you become healed. Isn't that what we just read? If they see with the eyes and hear with the ears, then they will be healed. When you open your heart and let Him speak to you, and He will transform you. I don't want to. I want to hang on to my pain, my unforgiveness, my anger. I want to hang on to it. Nobody's going to talk to me about it. And in your mind, it becomes an idol. Because you're meditating on it. Listen to what you have said. You share it to your friends and to others. Man, how bad I am. Look what has happened to me. I am. On it goes. And it becomes a stronghold. And it becomes like a wall around your heart. And you know what happens when there's a wall around your heart? You can't receive love. And you can't give it away. You can't experience God. Do you know how to be transformed? Let Him in there. Let Him in there. He says, God, this is what they did to me. This is how it happened. I don't want it. Help me, God. How many knows He's more than willing to help you and set you free? He came to heal your heart. To be healed your heart. You know what it says in Ezekiel 36? He's taken a heart of stone and He's given you a brand spanking new heart of flesh. How many believe that? How many believe that when you open your heart to Jesus, He molds you and shapes you? You know how I know that a heart has been molded and transformed? You know how I know? Because there is love. I shared the story about Sammy at the beginning of my sermon. And she had every reason to close her heart. Four terrorists had killed her friends, 10 of her friends. Two died, came back. She had every reason to be angry. How many of you have reason to be angry at some people? Yeah, don't grow up yet. I think you can all grow up there. But she knew by being in the presence of Jesus that it was His grace that forgave her. And out of that encounter, she's able to forgive those who did that to her and to her friends. And she went to the prison. That's what I heard on Sunday night. Help me out, ladies. That's what I heard Sunday night. She actually met with a terrorist. Who, in their radical minds, why would the terrorists do that, by the way? What in their mind caused them to go and plant bombs to kill innocent people who worship Jesus? What was it? I mean, also, it was a mind that was inflicted with the poison of the enemy that is still in them through a culture that was anti them. But in the prison, they were sentenced to death. They came to know Jesus. And when she met them, she was able to talk to them about Jesus and her forgiveness of what they did. When you do that, your heart is being transformed. Somebody asked me at a Bible study yesterday, but what about why? What about why we gotta let this happen? Or why did this, or why did that? And I understand why you ask that question. But if you're going to open your heart to be transformed, there's things you may not have an answer to on this side of heaven. And you're going to have to change that why to say, God, what is it that you want me to do? Because God will lead you in a plan of salvation. He will lead you in his plan. And sometimes you simply got to have to let it go. And just say, God, I don't understand. If you read the book of Job, he didn't understand. But how many knows he came out on top of the end of it? If you read the last page, he was blessed. My friends, sometimes you just got to let go and trust God. But don't harden your heart. He's more than willing to transform you. To go from glory to glory. Amen? I think I said that. No. But, little slap. You know, whenever I feel like I have a sermon from God, at the end of the sermon, I always ask the question, how does that apply to me? I don't want to talk about something that's just out there. I want to talk about something that I also experience. And so I ask the question, how does that apply to me? You see, when I was 12 years old, my father left. He said goodbye to my mother, and he married Lali. As 12-year-olds, I'm very angry. I was really angry at my dad. And for a long time, I didn't even want to talk to him. And when I talked to him, there was a bitterness coming out of my mouth. I wanted to hurt him. I wanted him to feel the hurt that I felt as a little boy who lost his dad, who now moved into with some other lady that I didn't even know. I wanted him to feel the pain. And for years, I came to this country, got married. I was not a Christian yet. But when I became a Christian, when I became a believer, God began to poke in that hardened heart. He began to say, Hans, now you know me. You know my grace. You know how much I have set you free. Now there's an area where your heart is still closed, and that's the worst you get. If you're going to love me with all your heart, you're going to have to do with your dad. Remember, there's a scripture that says something about honoring your father and mother and love you. So, Dad, will you forgive me for what I did to you when I was a teenager? I didn't say, Dad, you did this and this to me. I said, Dad, will you forgive me? He said, oh, that's a long time ago. No, I said, Dad, it's still something you and I have got to deal with. Will you forgive me, Dad? He said, of course I forgive you. And he said, and I ask that you forgive me as well. And that little phone call that took maybe 5 minutes or 10 minutes just opened my heart. That when I saw my dad next time, I had a tremendous love. And when he died, I was able to talk to him about Jesus. And what he had done for my life. My friends, if you open your heart and let the person out, he transforms you. So, Father, we all have areas along the path of life where hearts have been hurt, where hearts have been closed. And God, I pray you give us stability and the strength and the faith to open that heart again. Help us not to continue to dwell on the things that was done against us, things that has no life in it. Help us to be bold and courageous. Say, Jesus, I want this pain and poison to go. Help me, God. Take me back to where I closed my heart. Take me back to that place. and let me deal with this as you would have me deal with this. I know you're there, God. You are Emmanuel. You are with me. You want to heal me and make me whole. You want me to be a vessel of your Holy Spirit. So help me, God, to let down the walls, no matter what the cost. In Jesus' name. Amen.